in the midst of listening, I believe that God wants to minister healing to this body. I have watched various people struggle physically, emotionally, relationally, financially. There's, you know, I mean, we can all experience various kinds of struggles. And so this morning, what I want to begin to do is I want to begin, before we enter into our worship time, I want to begin stirring us up. Because even as we were singing this morning, I was just trying to get a sense of the atmosphere. And we're singing about joy. And let me tell you, some of you had to be singing that by faith, because your faith wasn't, your faces weren't showing it. Right? I mean, you're... there's joy, you know, and then there's power. Okay, it was getting a little better when we started saying there's power in the name. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Okay, your faith was starting to rise a little bit because your eyes started, you know, the sleepiness was starting to come out of your eyes, okay? You know, that's why we really begin. The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen? There's a reason for that. It's because when you get to the door, a lot of you are like basically falling in, okay? But the Bible says to worship God in both spirit and in truth, amen? At the time that Jesus, if you remember, was on the mountain, well, he really wasn't on the mountain, he was talking to a woman from Samaria at a well. If you remember, he was traveling through Samaria. And as Jesus was talking with her, things got a little uncomfortable for her, so she kind of changed the subject. And this is what she began to say to Jesus. She said, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Now here's the key verses. "Yet a time is coming, and now has come." Everyone say, "Now has come." Now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Now, when we talk about worship, that's one of those words that it's like, okay, define to me what worship is. And you will probably get as many different definitions as you have people. But worship is simply this. Worship is an expression of faith, love, and honor through our spirit, soul, and body. Let me say that again. I want you guys to pay attention. You guys are distracted right now, and if you don't get this, you're going to miss what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you tuned in? Worship is an expression of faith, love, and honor through our spirit, soul, and body. And so as we worship, and therefore we express faith, love, and honor from our heart to God, it's through that faith and that expression that God's glory and presence becomes manifest in our midst. God inhabits or is enthroned on the praises of his people. And so faith and expression have to come together. And there's a reason for this. Because we are both spiritual and physical, right? We've been given authority in the earth. And so because we are tied to this earth and we've been given authority in it, the things that we express in it, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so when we declare our praise, the faith that's within our heart, when we express spirit, soul, and body to God, because we're also spirit connected to Him, then that which is spirit manifests in the earth. And you and I are the part of God's creation that makes that possible. And worship is the very environment by which that happens. Because that is the time when we allow what's in our heart. That's when we express to God. And so listen, if we come in distracted, if we come in carrying heavy loads, if our minds are filled with all kinds of things and we're not focused on that name, the name of Jesus, it makes it very difficult for the presence of God to manifest, because your heart is divided, right? You're double-minded at that point. That's why the Bible says, offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips. Sometimes you've got to make a sacrificial expression of faith, because your flesh and your emotions do not feel like it. And so whether you feel like it or not, we have to come in before the Almighty God and say, you're on the throne, you're where my attention is focused, it's about you, it's not about me. And as you make it about Him, that's the means by which everything that you're carrying into this place gets unloaded and dispersed. And so faith must be expressed. Our love and adoration of God must be expressed, and that happens through worship. And listen, this is what and this happens because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, correct? You know, we hear all those things, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And we know that was associated with the Jewish temple. But as they came and as the sacrifice at the altar was made and as the priest went into the Holy of Holies, that's when the whole nation of Israel saw the glory cloud of God fall on the temple and fill the Bema seat. Now, they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but they knew the presence of God was manifest. And so when we come with thanksgiving and praise, I'm telling you, that's when the Holy Spirit fills you. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. It says, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why it says to say that, because as you come in and as you worship, the presence of God fills your spirit. The temple is filled, and you are filled with overflowing, and the presence of God manifests in the church. And the power of God is released. Worship is not an option if we want to see the power of God manifest. And I believe this, folks. Listen, the aspects of His glory that become manifest are the very characteristics and attributes of God that we express through faith. You want to see the healing presence of God manifest, you declare the healing God. You declare the healing works of our God. You want to be healed, you worship the healer. The characteristics and attributes that you express unto God through faith is what will manifest. That's what comes from heaven to earth, and your faith and your expression brings it here. So to experience God in specific ways, it requires three things. We must focus on specific characteristics and attributes of God. This morning, we're going to focus on healing. Faith must exist in our heart, secondly, regarding those specific characteristics and attributes. How many know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you declare the healer, as you declare His healing attributes. Your mind gets renewed. and it starts dropping down into your heart. And that's where faith rises up. And so as we worship Him, our hearts begin to change because we declare the truth about Him. We express it. Okay? And then finally, we must express, again, those characteristics and attributes through faith with our spirit, soul, and body. When we bring all those three things together, that's what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. So worshiping God in spirit and in truth involves both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in us and then being expressed through us in our worship. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to begin to help us worship in spirit and in truth. That has to happen through the expression of our faith. What you believe about God, amen? And so Romans 10:17 says this, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So you're going to need to hear the truth, the Word of God, right? And then that Word of God talks about, we've heard this before, the Rhema of God. It's not just the words written on a page. It's the words written on our heart. So how does the Word of God that's written on the pages get written on our heart? It's through the Holy Spirit, amen? And John 16:5-7, and then we're going to skip to verses 13-15, says this. Jesus said, "But now I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." He's talking to the disciples, right? "But I tell you," verse 7, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And then this is what the Holy Spirit will do. That He helps bring Rhema. Amen? The word written on your heart. Verse 13. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." Not what the world says is truth. What the kingdom of God says is truth. "For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you." So guess what? What the Bible says, the Holy Spirit wants to enlighten you on that. He doesn't want you to get religious about it. He wants you to get the mind and the heart of the Father on it. And it's the Holy Spirit's role to bring that revelation not only to your head, but to your heart. Verse 15, "All things that the Father has are Mine," Jesus says. "Therefore I said that He takes," meaning the Holy Spirit, "of Mine and will disclose it to you." So in order to worship God in truth, that comes through the truth that we see in the written Word, and the revelation that comes to our heart through the Holy Spirit, amen? Secondly, and that's worshiping God in truth, we must also worship God in spirit. And when we worship in spirit, this means we worship God. Listen, I want you to hear this. To worship Him in spirit means you are worshiping in the very throne room of God. So guess what? We don't just show up here for church on Sunday and worship just happens in these walls. To worship God in spirit means that you are also worshiping Him in truth in the throne room of God. Now you're saying, "Wait a minute, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm in earth. I'm not in heaven." Oh, yes, you are. Listen to Ephesians 2:6. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." You are in Christ Jesus already. Your spirit person is in Christ Jesus, seated in Him, in heavenly realms, and guess what? He's at the right hand of the Father. You are in heavenly places because you are a born-again child of God. And look at what Hebrews 4:15 through 16 says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he gave us access to that heavenly throne room, right? Because it says, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, not, well, I wonder if we're there. Or I hope I can make it there. I hope I'm a good enough little boy or girl Christian. Right? No. Boldly. Listen, when you became a child of God, you were seated there. Daddy doesn't want you to go kicking stones going, Dad, can I maybe be healed? Right? He wants us to come like, Dad, Daddy, I'm hurting. Daddy, I need you. You're my healer. You're the one that can make me whole. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we come to Him in spirit and in truth. And listen what the heart of the Father does and has already done in His throne room. This is what's amazing. He's in His throne room, and I want you to also see what's there. When we pursue God in faith through worship, we access the very nature of God, and we can receive then in the natural what He has already provided in the heavenly realms that is consistent with His nature. So, Father God, I want you to see what's already there when we come to the throne room of God in our time of need. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So not only are you in the throne room, seated in heavenly places, but every spiritual blessing that you need is there. Healing, salvation, restoration, provision, deliverance, you name it. What you need, it's there. Look at 2 Peter 1:3 through 4. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these, His own glory and excellence, He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So what He has already provided in heavenly places, He promises us on earth that we can have those things here. And now, that's what His promises are about. See, because in heaven, you've already got them. So He doesn't need to promise you something that you already have. The promises are for obtaining them in the natural. Right? So His promises have already been established here. His blessings have been established there. So in order to get what's there, and we're seated there, we got to believe His promises. And we've got to declare His promises. Amen? Because listen to what He says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, that's your part, is spoken by us to the glory of God. So God's saying, yes, you're in my throne room. He's up there. He's already said yes. He said, I said yes when I sent Jesus and he rose from the dead. He said, I said yes the minute you became born again and you were seated in heavenly places. I said yes because I told you to come boldly before my throne of grace. And when you come before my throne of grace, I said yes because I've already given you every spiritual blessing in Christ. So now what I've done on earth is I've given you the promise of those things in the natural, which you've already received in the spiritual. So that's why you've got to worship me in spirit and truth, because when you worship me in spirit, you enter into what you access, and when you worship me in truth, you bring it here. Is this sinking in? And so for the rest of my message, we're going to just talk about healing. Because this is where we want to worship him this morning, in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to give you the truth part. And then the worship team's going to come up, and we're going to declare that truth through song. And we're going to realize that we are seated in the throne room of God as we sing. And as we sing, and we give expression to those truths, when we believe it in our heart, we believe that's when that attribute, that characteristic, that glory of God comes into our midst. Amen? And we begin to receive his power for healing. So let's begin to focus even in our worship. Let's worship him even now as you hear this. Worship him in truth. I want you to hear these passages of scripture as I show them to you. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You starting to get the praise part, the worship? And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Are you in his presence yet? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's a promise, folks, for now. Access it in heaven. Worship him in truth and in spirit. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. We're going to look at it in a couple different translations. In the NIV, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And this translation says, by his wounds we are healed. I'm going to tell you on that part of the passage, I like the second translation better. That's why I put them both here, because I think it's more accurate. Let's read it in the New American Standard Bible. Surely our griefs or sickness he himself bore, and our sorrows or pain, in the parentheses is what the footnotes of the New American Standard said could be, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. We know the scourging was that whipping into his body. Amen? And so through the wounds, those, the scourging on his body, the promise for healing. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is healing at every level. It's not just for salvation. Salvation is the beginning point that made it possible for healing and all the other things. See, this is in heaven, you already got salvation. See, when you're in the throne room, you're already saved. Well, you're saved here too now. But it's in your spirit that you're saved, right? How many have figured out your soul and your body still need some work? Right? Right? But your spirit, man, you die today, you're gonna see what's in the throne room. Okay? Okay? So, but the promises are about the healing here. Salvation is already guaranteed if you're in Christ. It's a done deal. We got to bring that salvation through the promises of God that we're reading into our soul, mind, emotion, and will, into the heart, and into our body. That's what the promises allow for in the here and now. Isn't that awesome? Okay? And we see this because in Matthew 8, 16 through 17, and then 1 Peter 2:24, we see the fulfillment in the New Testament of what Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament. Matthew 8, 16, it says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." Now, we're going to stop right there for just a second because I'm going to tell you an inaccurate interpretation of that right there. I have read that people will tell you that because of the way that it reads is that this was talking about Jesus' ministry. And that it was, he fulfilled the ministry, and he did the healing. And so it was fulfilled, and so this doesn't now apply to you and me. That he finished it. Okay? Now I want you to think about that, because I'm going to show you in just a second, I'm going to show you by the Word of God where that's a false teaching. And I struggled with that for a long time. Okay? But let's go on to 1 Peter 2:24. It says, this is the second fulfillment of that passage. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes," listen to this now how it's worded, "you were healed." Notice in Isaiah it says, "By his scourging we are healed." So that meant that when that day came that he would be scourged, that would be then the provision for the healing. But so they were looking forward. We're now looking backwards to that scourging. And so the healing has already been finished. It's done in heavenly places, right? So again, through the promises, we got to bring that which is, which has already been done. See, healing, this is where you got to begin in your faith. You got to believe you're healed in Jesus' name. Yes, it's in heaven, but you were healed. And you can get that here. That's where this worship in spirit and truth, in faith and expression comes in. That's why we can't just walk in here on Sunday and not think about what we're doing. We worship him. We recognize we're coming into the very presence and into the throne room of God by faith according to what we're declaring. I keep coming back to that, I know, but I want your faith to be stirred up right now. Okay? But now let's get back to that part about Jesus. You know, it said that this was a fulfillment, that he took up our infirmities because he healed all those people, right? Well, now let's go to John chapter 6, 25 through 29, and John 14, 12 through 14. I want you to hear this right now. so that you know that, yes, Jesus fulfilled that, but then look at what Jesus says to us. John 6, 25 through 29. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Listen to what Jesus says. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." How many know he's talking about heavenly things now? "Which the Son of Man will give you." Notice it doesn't say might give you. He says, work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Step one. Jesus already did it, right? So he said to do the same works, to do the works of God, it begins by believing in the one he has sent. Now let's go to step two. John 14, 12 through 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me," listen to this. So didn't he say to do the works of God is to believe in the one he sent? All right, now it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Whoa. "And," oh, this is where it really gets good. "Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." I think we already talked about that, right? Isn't that where we began? That Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go, that the Holy Spirit may come, and you'll do the works that I've done, and greater works than these." Uh-oh, wait a minute. Okay, that means that when those people came and Jesus healed all the sick, guess what? That's what we can do. But you gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. Jesus didn't have any inhibitions to his faith, right? What excites me about this is I believe that we are coming into days where the inhibitors that we have had for decades, generations that have inhibited our faith, the fact that, I don't know about you, but I've not seen the world yet do greater works than Jesus did. Have you? I've seen them do the works that he did. But have we yet arrived to the place in the world where we're doing greater works than Jesus did? That says to me that on a bigger level, the faith level of the church of Jesus Christ, he's going to cause it to rise. Because it's faith that accesses the heavenly realm that releases what's there here. And I believe he wants to manifest that in the entire world. But how many know before that's going to happen, we got to get it here. We got to start somewhere, right? Listen, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Right? Now, we know that's related to the promises of God. But do you know how many people are the enemy is deceiving, or false teaching has deceived, or people have been hurt and wounded in their life, and you got all these things that inhibit us from really believing. And so what happens is religion has come in, and the enemy's been glad to sow religion into the church that gives some kind of spiritual religious rationalization why that doesn't happen today. Right? And so it kills our faith. And the church has built doctrines around that. And we wonder why we can't tap into the resources of heaven. We've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm trying to teach you the truth this morning, so that when you enter in worship into the throne room of God, you go there believing the truth in your heart, and your heart goes wide open, and you say, yes, I receive that in Jesus' name. Now, the thing is, in your heart, your head knows things consciously. Your heart doesn't know things consciously, subconsciously. And when you find yourself coming up and praying for healing and you're struggling and something's not happening, I'm telling you, there's something in your heart, not because you're a bad person, but there's just something that has been sown in your heart that becomes a roadblock to faith being released to tap into what God says. So literally, folks, this is why I'm sharing all of this with you this morning, because I am by the truth. How many know the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free? I'm trying to kick down some doors that are inhibiting faith this morning. I want your faith to rise so that when we enter in worship and we go to the throne room of God, you're going in declaring in faith, yes, in Jesus' name, every spiritual blessing in Christ is there. Everything that I need pertaining to life and godliness is there. And I'm tired of not having it here. I want it, Jesus. You said I can have it. You said it's mine. You want to give it. You've already given it. And so this is how it's going to come. It's going to come through faith. And when you have faith, your faith becomes literally the electric cord from heaven to earth. Your faith is what plugs in to the energy source, the power source of heaven. Your faith is the cord. How many know in your house, your power comes from consumers' energy? It's sitting there all the time, unless there's a storm, right? It's just sitting there. It's waiting for you to access it and use it. That's the same thing of the spiritual blessings in heaven. But if you want to use a vacuum cleaner and you never plug the vacuum cleaner in, guess what? You can push that thing around till the cows come home. Ain't nothing going to happen. You got to plug it into the power source. Well, guess what? Your faith is the cord. Your faith is the plug. You got to plug it in. And you know what? And it don't matter. Listen, people say, well, I believe. And they don't realize they're talking about what they're thinking in their head. But we got to break down the barriers, because how many know it doesn't matter if the plug is this far away from the socket or it's that far away from the socket. If it isn't plugged in, it doesn't release anything, right? So that's where the truth is how, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema, which is given by the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to give you the Logos this morning. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is stirring you up inside and is revealing this to your heart even as I'm teaching it. Amen? And so when that happens, I want to show you what you're plugging into. What you're plugging into. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So not only is the Holy Spirit giving you the truth by which you can plug your faith into, which gives you faith actually, so that you can plug into this power source, he's showing you that the power source is in you. Isn't this amazing? You're seated in heavenly places, and the power source is in you. So it's not like we got to go, how do I get billions of miles away to heaven to tap into the power source? No, you're seated there already. And it is within you. Look at this, Ephesians 1, 18 through 21. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And listen to this. This is what he's saying. I'm praying the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to. How many know faith is, the heart is where faith resides? He wants us to, our heart to be enlightened with the revelation of the Holy Spirit about his power. And it says, and he wants us to be enlightened to his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's for us who believe. Key word, believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Didn't we already say we're already seated there? Right? Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That power is in you. And you're in Christ in heavenly places. And every spiritual blessing is just waiting for you to access it through God's promises. It requires, as I stated earlier, those different actions on our part. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, how many know that's an expression of faith, be removed and cast into the sea, and here's the second part, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have. There's the promise. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, as we go into worship, I know that there's been, it challenges us when maybe we've had some infirmity in our life, or we've watched someone with an infirmity, and we feel like we've prayed and we've done everything we know to do, and yet it's like they just don't get healed. What I have really come to realize is it's not, I've already shared with you, it's already done, right? I mean, you've heard the word. And so there becomes a disconnect. And I'm going to tell you, it's when we have those moments, that's when the enemy comes in and tries to capitalize on our experience and cause our faith to be inhibited and doubt to come, because he knows that all he's got to do is keep your faith that far away from the outlet. That's all he's got to do. And then guess what? And then if it doesn't happen, your doubt grows bigger and your faith grows smaller. Now what I'm going to tell you is this morning, this is what I've learned, because there's been bad teaching that says, well, if a person doesn't get healed, it must mean one of two things. Either there's sin in their life or they don't have enough faith. And both of those statements bring self-condemnation on a person, and the enemy loves it. And it actually becomes an even bigger barrier. So I want to end with Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. Because I want to kick out some barriers this morning. Okay? If the worship team would come on up. These are some of the barriers that Jesus has also come to take out of the way. These are some of the barriers that keep our faith from being expressed fully in our heart. Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. Isaiah prophesied this about Jesus, the Messiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Listen to this, folks. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That brokenhearted, that word in the Hebrew is the word shabar. It means broken into pieces, fragments. We can go through things in life that so deeply wound us that it breaks down our trust in God's goodness and love, right? I preached a whole series on God's goodness and love. But if you have experienced brokenheartedness in your life, there's parts of you that may find it very, very difficult to trust God. And if you can't trust God, you won't access Him for physical healing, right? And so Jesus didn't just come to heal our physical infirmities. He came to heal the things inside of us that become barriers to our faith in all areas of life. He came to heal your broken heart. It says he also came to proclaim freedom to the captives. How many know whenever we've experienced woundedness, the enemy seeks to come in and bring bondages into our life? He came to set us free from the bondages of our life, addictions, habits, fleshly patterns. He came to set us free from those things. Those can be inhibitors to our faith. He came to release from darkness for the prisoners. How many know that relates to deception? That when we've been wounded, the enemy will tell you, "You're worthless. Your life means nothing. Who could love somebody like you?" And I'm telling you this morning, He came to release you from that darkness, that lie that the enemy has put over your mind. He's veiled your mind. And that can become an inhibitor to faith. It says He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. How many know God says, "Enough of this. Enough of my people being under bondage. Enough of my people being sick and infirmed. Enough of this. I will have my vengeance on the kingdom of darkness." Listen, He came to comfort those who mourn. Maybe you've had a loss in your life. Maybe you've had dreams in your life that have gone unfulfilled and you're mourning those losses. Jesus came to heal those heartaches. See, He came to heal your bodies, but He came to heal a whole lot more that sometimes are actually inhibition. Sometimes you've got to get some of those things healed before you can get healed physically. It says, "And to provide for those who grieve in Zion." Right? That's the mourning part. To bestow on them, listen, this is what He wants to give you. He doesn't want you to walk around in mourning. He wants to give you a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning. See, God doesn't, He doesn't only want to take away your sorrow. He wants to give you something good to replace the pain that you've walked in. And when we get healed, listen to what we're called. Now listen, this already exists in the Spirit. But then you're going to walk this out in your life, in this earth. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. How many know when you get healed, when you get set free, when you walk in victory, you are going to be one big display of God's splendor, of the greatness of who He is. Amen? And this is the ultimate reason God wants you healed. Listen to the next three verses. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. How many know that talks about the kingdom of God now? That have been devastated for generations. Come on, let's do it in this generation. Let's see it happen. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches, you will boast. Instead of shame, you will receive a double portion. Come on, somebody say double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. Come on. How many want some of that now? What's in heaven now? And you will inherit a double portion in your land and everlasting joy. Didn't we sing about that at the beginning of the service? Everlasting joy will be yours. Come on, how many are ready to start worshiping in spirit and in truth? I know we got a time of worship. And I know I've been carrying on. I want to go somewhere this morning. I don't want to just talk about this. I'm tired of just talking about healing. How many are ready to start plugging into the power source today? Today. So as we worship this morning, even as we worship, I want you to already begin to receive. Say, Lord, I'm coming for you. As you sing what we're singing this morning, this is an expression of your faith. Listen, we're going to offer ministry up here this morning, and I realize it'll be longer than 11:30. I get it. But I'm going to tell you what, it can start happening as we start worshiping in spirit and in truth, because you're going to the throne room of God. You can get it straight from the hand of the Father now. All we're up here is to help lend our faith to your faith to, you know, like, okay, so we're like a plug, you know, we're like an extension cord, okay? You know, we plug in, you plug into us, but we're kind of helping you plug. You get it? Well, you know, so wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to go through us? As you're worshiping this morning, just plug in and say, Jesus, I've been hurting in this wounded area in my life for years. I don't want to hurt no more. I'm asking you to take away that emotional pain. I'm asking you to heal that old wound that's in my heart. And I'm asking you to give me joy instead of sorrow. I'm asking you to give me peace instead of shame. You can do that right now while you're worshiping the healing God. Amen? Holy Spirit, right now, I just open the floodgates of heaven in Jesus' name. That your glory manifest in healing right now. We declare, Lord, that you're our healer, that you're our deliverer, that, Lord, there's nothing that you can't do. No good thing will you withhold from us. For every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, and you are our healer, and we thank you for healing in Jesus' name. So let's worship right now and receive from the Father in Jesus' name.
You know, it says in the